Turn your Bibles, will, to Titus chapter 1. Titus chapter 1, we've been taking a look for some time and just going through these books and just consideration about the teachers, deacons, preachers, pastors, the ministers of our Lord. We've wrapped up about where Brother Paul was writing to Brother Timothy, a young minister, preacher, pastor of the Lord. And now we're going to take a look at this Brother Titus. We know a little bit about him, and we're going to take, and by way of introduction this afternoon, just take a look at the other passages and scriptures that tell us about this brother. Little is mentioned, but the Apostle Paul does write to him, reaffirming things that are necessary as far as the qualifications of the Lord's pastors. And that's where the qualifications lie. They're there towards pastors, bishops of the Lord's churches, and they're very clear, and those men that are called to pastor the Lord's churches need to abide by those, and that's the reason a pastor needs the prayer of the people that he pastors, because I'm a man like you. I'm subject to like passions, and we're just subject to things, and so those things need to be in place. There's a lot of room for ministry overall, and it's a sad, I'm saddened to see it, how there's divisions among I believe scriptural, understanding to be scriptural churches, and they just don't hold to some of the qualifications at hand for pastors. And if they are churches, they are the Lord's churches, and I don't mean that by way of doubt, but there's just been some of those things that have been let down. And may the Lord help us as I continue to be your pastor, or one day there's a necessity to look for another pastor, that these qualifications would be looked unto and towards. Because they are moral qualifications. Understand that. Just because a man can handle the Word of God well, and it is able to know the doctrines and bring forth the doctrine of the Word of God and of God who has given us, if he's not morally qualified, he's not qualified to be a minister of those things. And so understand that priority. You take a look, and as we touch on those probably next time, again, we'll see. Again, it'll be reiterated to us. They are moral qualifications, namely. And then, of course, he must be a man that is apt to teach and able to handle the Word of God and rightly divide it as the Lord has given it unto us. In Titus chapter 1, verse number 1, Paul, a servant of God, an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect and the acknowledging of the truth which is after godliness, in hope of eternal life, which God, that cannot lie, promised before the world began, but hath in due times manifested his word through preaching, which is committed unto me, according to the commandment of God our Savior, to Titus, mine own son after the common faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ our Savior. And so we see here he's writing to Brother Titus, and we're going to touch on these things mentioned here in his introduction next time, Lord willing. But we just want to go to the scriptures and see about the connection that Brother Paul and Brother Titus have one with another. Normally and naturally, if we want to find out about somebody in regards to the church age and how the Lord built his churches from that first church in Jerusalem, a first place to stop would be the book of Acts. There's nothing mentioned about Brother Titus in the book of Acts. There's nothing there. And so what we want to do then is let's go over to the book of Galatians. Galatians and chapter 2. And here the apostle is writing to the churches at Galatia. Judaism has been pressing on them for some time. Those Jews that are saved, and some of them, they want to go back and bring in that of the circumcision and such as that, and hold the Jews to those things. There's actually a meeting at the Church of Jerusalem from brethren that come from Antioch, Paul and Barnabas being part of that group, and they go there to deal with that subject, and it's found, and they know and understand that men are not saved by being circumcised. They're saved by repentance and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Binding the Gentiles with the ceremonial sacrificial law that the Lord gave to the Jews is vain. It's vain. Christ is the answer of all those things unto all who are saved. And there are some things that they were persuaded and led by the Lord. Don't get away from fornication. Fornication should not be a normal practice and a regular practice at all of those who are saved. Stay away from things that are strangled. And I think that has to do with just the element of the wickedness of dealing with an animal in that way, and plus the blood being left in the body as it is. They also say don't drink blood. Just don't drink blood. That's just not right. And I think most likely there were pagan and heathen associations with those things too. And they said, other than that, the grace of the Lord be with you and be obedient in those things that He's given us to obey in His churches and would come with the writings, namely of the Apostle Paul. And so they deal with that. We jump in here. Paul's dealing with the churches at Galatia and several churches he's writing into, not just one, but several churches. It's a prime opportunity for the apostle to acknowledge a universal type of church. He could have said the church at Galatia, but it's the churches at Galatia, and we know that there's no such thing as a universal church, universal invisible church, no such thing. There's local churches, and one day in glory, we'll be members of the same church, the Lord's church one day, and so there's no problem in dealing with all of that. One day my membership's going to get moved, and it's going to get moved to glory where the Lord is. And the chief shepherd will be our pastor forever, won't he? He will be. But until then, the Lord's made a design for us. The apostle here, the latter part of chapter 1 of the book of Galatians, going into chapter 2, he's telling about his calling and calling unto salvation, calling unto the Lord's church, calling unto his apostleship. And he's just kind of reviewing this with them, telling about how the grace of the Lord has worked in his life. And that he was brought to them to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, had nothing to do with circumcision, had nothing to do with the keeping of the law. And so in chapter 2, we pick it up here. Then 14 years after, I went up again to Jerusalem with Barnabas. And so here we have a clue about timing. Timing. The Apostle Paul and Barnabas, all the way through in the book of Acts to the end of that first missionary journey, and the beginning of the second is when Paul and Barnabas were together. They ministered together. It was Barnabas that went and found Paul and brought him to Antioch, we know in the scriptures. And so this gives us an indication about timing. So understand this, 14 years have passed since that last reference in chapter 1, and before that about how he told a little bit earlier about how the Lord had saved him and called him. We haven't even got to the time of the missionary journey. So understand about the length of the time of the apostles' ministry is decades, possibly even long, at least 20-some years, it seems to be. And so 14 years after, I went up again to Jerusalem with Barnabas and took Titus with me also. So we have this, from the order of history, we have this first mention of Titus in regards to time. When they took one of those trips, Paul and Barnabas will not look at it. You can go and take a look at it in the book of Acts. They were entrusted with a gift, with a love offering that was taken up by the churches there in Galatia to be in Syria to be a help to those churches in Judea for a great drought and famine, so to speak, that was in the land. They were the conveyors of that on one occasion. Early on after his salvation, we've read that recently, Paul went to Jerusalem and tried to engage himself to the apostles, but they were afraid of him. And the Lord appeared unto him in a vision as he was there. And I think the scripture says he was at the temple, and he said, "They're not going to receive you right now. They're not going to receive you." But Lord, he poses to the Lord, "But Lord, they know what the change has been. I used to kill their kind." So they're not going to receive it. You load up and you go on to the work that I have for you to do. And then he came back here in this reference with Barnabas, I believe at that time bearing that gift. and Brother Titus is with him. Again, we have no mention of Brother Titus in the book of Acts, as far as we know. But there at Antioch is where Brother Paul and Brother Barnabas and several others that are mentioned there, I believe in Acts chapter 13, when the Lord said, separate these two brethren for the work that he has for them. Verse number 2, and I went up by revelation and communicated unto them the gospel which I preach amongst the Gentiles. And so he had been busy in that there at Antioch. He had been busy in that up at Damascus. He'd been busy in that wherever he had been. I think before he went to Antioch, he went back to Tarsus. And so he actually went back to his hometown and was a witness of the Lord Jesus Christ there before going to Antioch. And so he was conveying again to those there at Jerusalem about the gospel that he preached among the Gentiles, but privately to them that were of reputation, lest by any means I should run or had run in vain. There were some men. Sergius Paulus is a man that the apostle runs into, and Brother Barnabas, as they go on that first missionary journey. He's a deputy in the region, and the man was interested in hearing about the gospel. And in that witness and that testimony, it wasn't necessarily in an open oration like it would be at the synagogue or it would be out at the place of commerce in the street or whatever, but that man was somebody that he witnessed to more personally and more privately, who was interested in hearing about this way that they were walking in. It goes on to say, in Jerusalem, but neither Titus, who was with me, being a Greek, and so now we find out about his ethnicity. He's a Greek. Titus is a Greek. He's most likely from Greece or well could be there in Asia Minor somewhere when the apostle had met him possibly on that first missionary journey. Maybe he was a man that was there traveling to and from or was there at Antioch possibly. We just don't know where. We don't understand where other than he is a Greek and could be even directly from Greece. There's this issue about these Gentiles being associated with the brethren. And again, there were those at Jerusalem that said, they need to be circumcised. They need to be circumcised. And those guys with circumcision, they just wouldn't go away. They wouldn't quit. They said, no. Titus said, no, I don't need to be circumcised. I'm saved. I don't need circumcision to be saved. We're not saved by our works. We're saved by the grace of God through repentance and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's how sinners are saved. And so as Brother Timothy had submitted to being circumcised, because he was partly Jew, his mother was a Jew, his father a Greek, so that it just might drop the issue, I believe, with the Jewish brethren, that they might be able to minister unto them. Brother Titus says, no, I'm a Greek. I don't need to be circumcised. There's no need. I don't have the promise of Abraham upon me. See, remember, that's what circumcision is about for the Jews. It's not salvation. Came before the law. It's a private personal token of the promise that God made Abraham. And if you're not of the blood lineage of Abraham, circumcision doesn't mean anything. And we circumcise our males for the sake of health reasons and such as that, and that's appropriate and that's right, but it doesn't win salvation for any. And so Titus refused that there in Jerusalem. He was not compelled to be circumcised. And that because of false brethren unawares brought in, who came in privily to spy out our liberty, which we have in Christ Jesus, that they might bring us into bondage. To whom we gave place by subjection? No, not for 1 hour, that the truth of the gospel might continue with you. This is evidence in the book of Acts when those came from Jerusalem up to Antioch and began preaching this thing that you Gentiles got to be circumcised. Paul and Barnabas said, no, 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 no. That's not how the Gentiles are saved, is by being circumcised. It's not how their salvation is maintained. And so in time they loaded up and they went down to Jerusalem. And the Jewish apostles, Peter, testified how it was in the household of Cornelius. He didn't need to be circumcised. He didn't need me to lay my hand on him one bit or his household. It was by the preaching of the gospel of Jesus and the plan and purpose and work of the Lord by Jesus through his church and with his word, they were saved before they were even baptized, before we laid hands on them. And they were Gentiles, Romans even. And so Peter testifies to that thing, and then those that I mentioned earlier, those things are all that they told them to abstain from: fornication, eating of things strangled, and the drinking of blood was the way that they left the Gentile believers there. We come over here to 2 Corinthians, and in 2 Corinthians we have the most mention of Brother Titus. And so, and we understand, we believe that we understand that the writing of these epistles to the church at Corinth, well, they have to take place after the church has begun. Okay? So you can take a look at that in the second and third missionary journeys are when the apostle touches and reaches Corinth there. And the book of Acts testifies how the Lord used him to be a starter of that church there in Corinth by the preaching to those folks that were there in the time that he spent. So he's writing to them timeline-wise after the church has been started. And evidently some time has lapsed and they've got some issues. We see about that in 1 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians, we see them dealing with the issues. And what we want to do is just march through this book a little bit and see about Brother Titus, his involvement with this church. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, we'll pick it up here in verse number 12. Here in this chapter is his reference again of that man that was disciplined by the church. Verse number 6, sufficient to such a man is this punishment. Yes, he was punished by the church by what? Beating him? No. Scourging him? No. Locking him up in jail? No. The churches of the Lord, when they discipline members, they don't lay hands on anyone. It's not like the universalist work or others have worked, the heathen work. No, that punishment is just simply the removing from the privileges of membership. Cannot observe the Lord's Supper. Cannot hold an office if you did before. Cannot be involved in the church's business. I cannot vote in that church's business. Are they shunned and forbidden to come to the services? By no means. We want them in the services. Because it's from in the services is yet another opportunity from there to them to hear the Word of God. Do we pray for them? Yes. Do we desire the Lord's working in them? Yes. Do we pray that the Lord will take them and turn them from the wickedness that they've become involved with publicly and had to been put out of the membership, that they might be restored? Yes, yes, yes. In the Lord, everything is yes. We want them back with repentance towards God and towards the church. So that's the extent of the punishment. This man was removed from the membership. It said this punishment, which was inflicted of many, so that contrarywise you ought rather to forgive them. If they are repentant, they are to be forgiven, and comfort him. Yes, you hear that? Lest perhaps such a one should be swallowed up with overmuch sorrow. And so to be received back with repentance, that's the design. Praise God when that works in people. And the Lord works that amongst his children. Sometimes it's so that some are put out of the Lord's churches in that way. They're removed from the membership and the privileges thereof, and they just go on their merry way. Well, I say that. I shouldn't say that way. They go on their way. Maybe it's found out that they're not the Lord's. Maybe they're like those soils that on the rocky or the thorny ground. The Lord knows. He's the one that reckons all that and knows all about that. So he's speaking to them about that, and he speaks about Satan having the advantage over us if we don't follow what the Lord gives us. Verse number 12, we pick it up, And it says here, furthermore, when I came to Troas, and that's up there in northwest Asia Minor, on the way to Macedonia to the north, to preach Christ's gospel, and a door was opened unto me of the Lord, right? You remember that about the Macedonian call? See, to go into Macedonia, there north of Greece. I had no rest in my spirit because I found not Titus, my brother. So here the apostle is seemingly speaking as if he's in the midst of those missionary journeys. He's at Troas, which is well west of Antioch in Syria. And so he came there looking for Titus. So Titus was there. He lived there, evidently, or was to meet the apostle there. And again, we know that Titus is a Greek, and he said, he had no rest in his spirit because he couldn't find him. He expected to find him there. Now, thanks be unto God. I had no rest in my spirit, verse 13, because I found not Titus, my brother. But taking my leave of them, I went from thence to Macedonia. Okay, they're north of the Aegean Sea, on the way to the west, northwest, or coming around down into Greece. That was the direction that they took on that second missionary journey. And on the third, he went into Macedonia. Now, thanks be to God, verse 14, which always causes us to triumph in Christ and maketh manifest the savor of his knowledge by us in every place. He said, we are a witness. The truth is proclaimed. Verse 15, for we are unto God a sweet savor of Christ. The Lord is worshipped when you and I witness and preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ in them that are saved and in them that perish. How is that? How is it that the Lord is glorified and it's a sweet savor when we preach the gospel of Jesus Christ? To the one, we are the savor of death unto death. Because I tell you what, you reject Jesus Christ as your Savior, and you will die the second time. And it's sure. And the Lord will be the one in person to mete it out. It's called the second death. It's called the lake of fire. And it's forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. Because why? The gospel has been preached and the sinner rejects it. Says, no, I don't need that. I don't want that. I have no interest in that. That's too weak, too inconvenient. I got to give up too much. I don't like that way. I don't want to be constrained that way. All the different reasons that sinners come up with. And the preaching of Christ is a savor of death unto them. I pray that it won't be that way with you. To the other, a savor of life. Unto life. You hear that? We are saved now. But I tell you what. And the scripture knows nothing about a second blessing, as some of the holiness and Pentecostals hold to. But I tell you what, we're saved now. And we're saved by Christ, and we're saved eternally. But I tell you what, when we get that new body and we're in the presence of the Lord, we're really going to be saved all over. I'm not saying all over again. I'm talking about through and through. Right now, this old man's not saved. This old mind is not saved. This old body is not saved. But one day it will be. And so he tells about their ministry there in Macedonia and otherwise. Verse number 16, to the one we are a savor of death unto death, to the other a savor of life unto life. And who is sufficient for these things? Who's worthy to be used this way? For we are not as many which corrupt the word of God, but as of sincerity, but as of God in the sight of God, speak we in Christ. And so the message of the Lord Jesus Christ goes forth. And we see that there in Troas, northwest Asia Minor, he looked for Brother Titus. In chapter 7 of the same book, 2 Corinthians 7, we pick it up in verse number 5. He's speaking about promises that the Lord has given to us, as Brother Peter speaks about promises. We pick it up here in verse number 5. For when we were come into Macedonia, our flesh had no rest, but we were troubled on every side, writing to the church at Corinth in Greece. Okay, so let's keep that in our minds. He's writing to this church that he has been to down in Greece. He had looked for Titus previously. He and Titus go all the way back to his trip to Jerusalem, we understand, way back when. We were troubled on every side. Without were fightings, within were fears. You mean the Apostle Paul was afraid? Uh-huh. But he looked to the Lord. Nevertheless, God that comforteth those that are cast down comforted us by the coming of Titus. Evidently, Brother Titus caught up with him going up into Macedonia. Brother Titus had heard evidently that he'd been looking for him at Troas, and Paul didn't find him, but then Titus came. Titus came and caught up with them. And not by his coming only, verse 7, but by the consolation wherewith he was comforted in you. When he told us your earnest desire, your mourning, your fervent mind toward me, so that I rejoice the more. So see, Titus came with information about the church at Corinth. Okay, so what we're doing, we're just putting this together timeline-wise and direction-wise as we come across these references. So the church at Corinth was already known and established. And Brother Titus had evidently been a minister there too. And evidently this is talking about the third missionary journey. And Titus catches up with the apostle somewhere in Macedonia, bringing this word about the church at Corinth. Not by his coming only, but by the consolation wherewith he was comforted in you when he told us of your earnest desire, your mourning, your fervent mind toward me, so that I rejoice the more. So they had a concern for him there at Corinth. Verse 8, for though I made you sorry with a letter, that would be the first epistle, if we understand it right, I do not repent, though I did repent, for I perceive that the same epistle hath made you sorry, though we're but for a season. Because he had some strong rebuke for him there in 1 Corinthians. Now rejoice, not that you were made sorry, but that you sorrowed to repentance. So, repentance is the blessing. Submission is always the blessing. For you were made sorry after a godly manner, that you might receive damage by us in nothing. You might be helped. You might get this thing right before God. Titus brought that word unto the apostle. For godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation, not to be repented of, but the sorrow of the world worketh death. The whole difference between a man like Barnabas repenting and trusting in the Lord and Judas Iscariot being caught that he had betrayed the Lord and going out and hanging himself. Repentance or remorse? There's going to be a lot of people at the judgment of the Lord that are going to be remorseful. They're going to be sorry they're there. You know what? They're not going to be able to change it. I tell you what, you need to flee to the Lord now if you're not saved. Godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation. Not that I've been caught, but I'm guilty before God and I need help. It's true. Not hiding and skirting and trying to get away from the Lord like our daddy Adam. And you know what? Godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation, not to be repented of. Don't back up on it. Repentance is not backed up on. But the sorrow of the world worketh repentance. Verse number 11. For behold, this selfsame thing, that you sorrowed after a godly sorrow sort, what carefulness it wrought in you, yea, what clearing of yourselves, yea, what indignation, yea, what fear, yea, what vehement desire, yea, what zeal, yea, what revenge. In all things we have approved, you have approved yourselves to be clear in this matter. You've done what's right, church. Wherefore, though I wrote unto you, I did not for his cause that had done the wrong, nor for his cause that suffered wrong, but that our care for you in the sight of God might appear unto you. He said, I wanted you to be whole as a church. Therefore we were comforted in your comfort, yea, and exceeding the more joyed we for the joy of Titus, because his spirit was refreshed by you all. Paul, that letter you wrote to him, the Lord used that, and they received it, and it changed them, and they were helped. And they repented of their waywardness as a church, and brethren repented of the waywardness that they had done in the church. And Brother Paul, it was a blessing to see. And Titus was the one that carried that to the apostle. He carried that to the apostle to let him know how the Lord had worked mightily in that, somewhere seemingly between that second and third missionary journey. Verse 14, "For if I have boasted anything of him to you, I am not ashamed, but as we spake all things to you in truth, even so our boasting, which I made before Titus, is found in truth." He said, I'm bragging. I'm bragging on the Lord. And I'm bragging on your obedience to the Lord and how in that the Lord is glorified and there's blessing and peace there at Corinth. And not a division, and not a strife, and not an angering of God in your disobedience. And he was praising the Lord when Brother Titus brought him the word. Verse 15, "And his inward affection is more abundant toward you." Titus loved him, and had a desire for him, whilst he remembered the obedience of you all, how with fear and trembling you received him. I rejoice, therefore, that I have confidence in you. In you and all things. I have confidence that you're going to continue on well in the Lord. Moreover, brethren, chapter 8, we do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia. I want to write to you what the Lord did up there. How that in great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded into the riches of their liberality. For to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power they were willing of themselves, praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift. He said, these churches here too were obedient for provision, and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. And this they did, these churches in Macedonia, not as we had hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and to us by the will of God. Insomuch that we desired Titus that as he had begun, so he would also finish in you the same grace also. Maybe help going back their way to the church there at Corinth. You know, we've got to understand in those first churches, these people, when they were saved, they were ostracized by the society that they knew before. I mean, cut off. If you didn't go to the temple anymore, what would be the reaction of your pagan family? They would cut you off. And so those churches in Macedonia had a desire and a help for the brethren that ministered unto them and for the other churches. Verse 6, "And so much that we desired Titus, that as he had begun, so he would also finish in you the same grace also. Therefore, as ye abound in everything, in faith and utterance and knowledge and in diligence and in your love to us, that ye... And see that ye abound in this grace also. I speak not by commandment, but by occasion of the forwardness of others, and to prove the sincerity of your love. For ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich." He's encouraging them to give as these poor churches in Macedonia have given. And the church at Corinth was known to give. "And herein I give my advice, for this is expedient for you who have begun before, not only to do, but also to be forward a year ago. Now therefore perform the doing of it, that as there was a readiness to will, so there may be a performance also of that which ye have," seemingly a commitment to help other churches and other saints. "For if there be first a willing mind, it is accepted according to that a man hath, and not according to that he hath not." If you don't have it, you can't give it, but if you've got it, you can. "For I mean not that other men be eased and ye burdened," again he's speaking to the church at Corinth, "but by an equality, that now at this time your abundance may supply for their want, that their abundance also may be supplied for your want." You got abundance now? Help them. These churches gave for the cause of others when they didn't have anything. So in abundance, certainly you can. "That there may be equality, there might be help and unity and the blessing of the Lord at his hand. As it is written, he that hath gathered much had nothing over, and he that gathered little had no lack." What's that talking about? Talking about manna for 40 years. Talking about collecting every day what you needed, and then double on Friday, so you had enough for the Sabbath. You got too little? Well, you know the power of the Lord, you got just right. You took up a little too much? it come out just right. You had what you need. And that, he said, that's the way the Lord will work in that for us too and for you. But thanks be to God, verse 16, which put the same earnest care into the heart of Titus for you. This man had a desire for the church at Corinth. For indeed he accepted the exhortation, but being more forward of his own accord, he went unto you. And we have sent with him the brother whose praise is in the gospel throughout all the churches. He's got a good reputation. And not that only, but who was also chosen of the churches to travel with us with this grace, which is administered by us to the glory of the same Lord in the declaration of your ready mind. He's involved in that distribution. He was a man that could be trusted, as Paul and Barnabas had been trusted to take that offering down to Jerusalem for those churches there in Judea back in the day of that famine that was prophesied by Brother Agabus. So Brother Titus is used this way, and he rejoices in the Lord at the willingness to give of the saints for the sake of others. Verse 20, avoiding this, that no man should blame us in this abundance, which is administered by us, providing for honest things, not only in the sight of the Lord, but also in the sight of men. And we have sent with them our brother, whom we have oft times proved diligent in many things, but now much more diligent upon the great confidence which I have in you. Whether any do inquire of Titus, he is my partner and fellow helper concerning you, or our brethren be inquired of, they are the messengers of the churches and the glory of Christ. Wherefore, show ye to them and before the churches the proof of your love and of our boasting on your behalf. If you will, in summary, you take up an offering for the sake of others, you can trust Titus to get it there. I tell you what, that was not common in that day. A bunch of money to take on a long trip. Have to watch out for highwaymen. Have to watch out for shysters and thieves. And you had to have a man you could trust or men that you could trust to take it and distribute it well. Distribute it according to what the will of the Lord would be. A man that once he got there with the gift wouldn't be a respecter of persons. Holding out this for those that he liked more and giving less to those that he would care for less, but was equitable and trustable in it. So we see Brother Titus greatly involved in the ministry there, the churches of Galatia, the church at Corinth, and the churches of Macedonia. In chapter 12 of this book, we see one final reference here in this book to Brother Titus. In chapter 12, verse number 18, let's back up here a little bit. Verse number 14, behold, the third time I am ready to come to you and will not be burdensome to you, for I seek not yours, but you. For the children ought not to lay up for the parents, but the parents for the children. And I will very gladly spent and be spent for you, though the more abundantly I love you, the less I be loved. Pardon me, the whole thing with the Apostle Paul ministering to the church at Corinth, there's a contingent there that had this attitude that he's out to get them, and he's out to get what they've got. And the thing is he wants them to be reconciled to the Lord, and says as much in the epistles that he writes unto them. He wants them to prosper. He wants their souls to prosper before the Lord as their health prospers, if you will, as the brother writes about that in other epistles. Verse 16, but be it so, I did not burden you. Nevertheless, being crafty, I caught you with guile. Did I make gain of you by any of them whom I sent unto you? I desired Titus, and with him I sent a brother. Did Titus make gain of you? Walk we not in the same spirit? Walk we not in the same steps? Again, think ye that we excuse ourselves unto you? We speak before God in Christ. But we do all things, dearly beloved, for your edifying. And so Titus was found a faithful man, even at the ridicule and the accusation of some that were there in Corinth. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, we find this last reference to Brother Titus, and we saw that as we wrapped up 2 Timothy last Sunday. And we see this. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse number 10. For Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed unto Thessalonica. Crescens to Galatia, Titus to Dalmatia. You know, we can read this, that these three brethren that are mentioned here, three brethren that are mentioned, maybe not. Demas has forsaken the Apostle Paul. He makes that clear. We've got to be careful about Crescens and Titus that we don't lump them into the same lump. All right? It may be that he's just telling what Demas did, but that doesn't apply to Crescens and to Brother Titus. Dalmatia. Dalmatia is over there west of Macedonia, up in the north in the body of that which is Greece, as we know it as modern-day Greece. Over there, Bosnia, Croatia, I believe, if I've got that right. It's right across to the east. It's from going east from Italy, right up there in whatever that sea is. I can't keep that one straight, but it's right there on the west side of Greece, Dalmatia. What do you think Titus was doing? I think he went there to minister. I'm of the opinion that knowing his reputation and such, he went there to minister in that region. And in that day, Dalmatia could have been a part of Macedonia or the next region over there to the east of Italy. Brother Titus, we don't know a whole lot about him. Kind of like Priscilla and Aquila. We know a little bit about them, but you know what? They're used of the Lord. They're used of the Lord, and their reward is with the Lord. Just like us, our reward is with the Lord. What we're called to be is faithful. We need to be faithful to the Lord. Faithful in what He's called us to do. Faithful when we're afraid, and faithful when we think we've got our act together, so to speak. We need to be faithful, and we need to be trusting and resting and looking to our Lord, and just be steady in the same. Be like our Lord Jesus, and follow the example that the Lord gives us in the Scripture. To Titus, mine own son, after the common faith. Brother Paul and Brother Titus knew one another for quite a while, didn't they? For quite a long time. And like he called Timothy, he calls him his son in the faith. And he desires good things for him as a minister of our Lord. Lord willing, next time we'll get right into the book and see some of the things that are there. Again, the focus, the title has been the ministers of the Lord, but as they are instructed to minister, we find out what they're to minister about. And so understand that. I trust that there's not any that have become bored with this, because this is chock full of things that you and I need as the Lord's children and members of His church. And so understand that. It's not just a focus on the ministers. If you've thought that or think that, you've missed it. You've missed the point. These things come to us in learning about what these brethren to minister in. If you're here and you're not saved, we point you to the Lord Jesus Christ. All this is about Him. It's not about us. We're here and we're glad to be a part of it and thankful to our Lord for it. But this is all this operation and work of the church, the calling that we have and the work that we pursue. It's all about Jesus Christ, and you need Jesus Christ. I tell you this, don't let our weakness, our inability, my inability, my way, and as the children of God, we need to be a good witness and good representation of Christ. If you're here and you're not saved, don't let that become a stumbling block unto you. In those areas I fail, I regret them greatly and don't want that to be a stumbling block, but don't you let it become a stumbling block, because the thing is we are to represent Christ. But Christ is Christ. And we're to represent Him and be a witness of Him. And we're to be like Him. But He is the one you need, and He is the one you answer to. I will fail you. He will never fail you. I will disappoint you. He will never disappoint. Come to Him in repentance and faith. Believe and trust in Him.